I got a mic. Hello. Good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Glad to have you here. Can I just say I love fall? Anyone else like, is fall anyone's favorite? Is fall anyone's favorite? I tell you, between football and more football and youth football and college football and the cold weather and then NFL football, it's my favorite season. And if I forgot high school football, we'll just do that too. But I just love this season, and we are blessed this year, aren't we? To have just such a beautiful fall. And I've heard to enjoy it because we know what comes, and it's coming. So remember days like today and months like we've had. I can't believe it's already the end of October, and Christmas is coming. It is coming, and we're already preparing and planning for what Christmas is going to look like this year at our church, and it's going to be a great season. So I'm just really excited for what God's doing, but it's good to see you. It's good to be together this morning. Pretty excited for the Word and what the Lord is doing in our midst. We're in the just beginning stages of a group study that we're doing called The God I Never Knew. And many of you are in a group, and if you're not in a group, you know, I don't want to be rude, but you're missing out. But it's just good things are going on, and it's so fun to be a part of what God is doing. Before I get into the Word, I do want to just acknowledge a couple different people this morning. And first of all, I want to acknowledge Isaac and Rachel there in the back. They just got married like October 7th, so like 2 weeks. So they're still smiling, so things are good, but congratulations. We love you guys. And we're just, I know some of you went over to their wedding in Montana, and just love you guys, and congratulations. And then also I want to acknowledge Pastor Dave and Darlene Easterly. They are awesome. They have been in Africa for about 2 months, give or take, and just got home this week. And got to continue to be a part of what God's done through our church here over the years in Uganda and South Sudan and the refugee camp. And you will be hearing, I'm sure, from Pastor Dave sometime. We actually haven't talked yet, but I'm sure we're going to be hearing from him. So Pastor Dave, just, you know, we'll talk, but we just love what God's done through you guys and love you. And it's so good to have you home. Yeah. So good to have you home. So, well, and everyone else, I love you too. But we are in the series of a 6-week series called The God I Never Knew. And we are talking about the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to listen to the message as we just kind of started it off and did an intro. And if you weren't here, here's the good news about not being here. The only good news about not being here is I'm going to give you like a 2-minute recap of what we talked about. But when you say the word Holy Spirit, a lot of different things go through people's minds, a lot of different word associations. We talked about the power of word associations that happen in our mind where we could see certain words. And we broke it down and we said that the Holy Spirit is a gift. And He is a gift that we all want to receive. When we hear people are going to give us something, we usually want what they are going to give us. And we could be confident, as the Word talked about last week, that the Heavenly Father is a God who gives good gifts to His people. And so when He said that, I want to give you the Holy Spirit, we can receive the Holy Spirit with joy. We can receive the Holy Spirit with expectation. And we can receive the Holy Spirit with just an expectancy that we are going to be more full people with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we also talked about, we talked about it being a gift. We also talked about not basing someone else's experience with the Holy Spirit and just thinking that's what it is, right? Because I think the enemy has twisted who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit is about. And so many people have fear when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And we said that we don't want to receive the gift with fear, right? We don't want to receive this incredible gift just with, well, I don't really know what to expect, and I'm a little apprehensive about it, but we can be confident, and we can grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe also that the enemy has twisted the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. And he's caused a lot of confusion around who the Holy Spirit is. And we don't want to believe that confusion any longer, amen? We want to dig into the Word and say, Father God, who is the Holy Spirit? And why are we called to walk with the Holy Spirit? And so, if you weren't here last week, there's your two-minute catch-up version. So, for this week, I read a meme. And I think we can all agree that it is a meme, not a meme, and not a meme. Okay? A meme. And it's one of those cute sayings that you see online, and it's usually funny and has a picture behind it. So, the meme I read this week, it said, it was an adult, and it said, now that I am an adult, I realize my parents were right about everything. And when you become a parent, I think you realize how true that is. Looking back over my life, I have some amazing parents. They're not here this morning, but they're still amazing, even though they're not here. They, growing up, had this keen understanding, and I didn't get it until now. I have kids of my own, and now I get it. It's like this anointing that you get as a parent. It's like you have kids, and then all of a sudden you have the supernatural, like, Jedi Knight skill that you can see things, and you can hear things, and you can discern things that you couldn't discern. Parents, you know what I'm talking about? And my parents had this understanding that they knew, based on my attitude, when I got home, they knew which friends I had just hung out with based on my attitude. Based on how grumpy I was, how grouchy I was, how rude I was, or they knew I had just been with my good friends because I was polite and helpful and not grumpy and not grouchy. And I didn't understand that until now. I have kids, and I kind of have this little thing going off where it's like my sons will come home and I'll know, oh, I know who you were with, or I know who you sat by on the bus on the way to school today, and next time you just need to sit by yourself. Or, oh, you hung out with your cousins. You probably need to hang out with your cousin more often because they're all polite and they help and they cook. I'm not talking about the boy cousins. I'm talking about the girl cousins. I'm thinking, you need to hang out with the girl cousins more often because you're like doing dishes and baking brownies, and it's just an amazing thing. You know, and growing up, I had these friends. I had the school friends that I was allowed to be friends with from 8 to 2:30, and that was it. School friends. And then I had the outside of school friends. And then I had the friends that were outside of school friends that then became strictly school friends based on the things that we did together outside of school. And I think this story represents the power of influence and the power that friendship can have on our life, either positively or, unfortunately, negatively. And we can recognize that, and the Bible speaks of this subject a lot, where the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, so one friend can sharpen another. So we can realize that through the relationships that we have with one another, that we can become better people, that we can become better Christians, that we can become better followers of Christ based on the relationships that we surround ourselves with. It also goes on, and it says a good friend is like a brother. And it talks about a brother walking in intimacy, in oneness, where my brother was my best friend growing up. And so we just had this relationship and this connection. And the Bible says that we can walk with our friends as close as a brother. And so that speaks that if you don't have good relationships in your life, I want to encourage you to get some good, godly friends in your life, because you can be a better human and a better Christ follower based on those people that are surrounded you. And I'm so blessed to have some good people in my life. But unfortunately, the Bible also goes on, and it says it in 1 Corinthians. It says, bad company corrupts good morals. Or meaning, bad friends can corrupt your character. And again, that's a famous parent scripture, right, that we say to our kids when they're not doing, hey, you know, bad company is, you know, they're going to bring you down, so you need to choose better friends. And there's a lot of truth to that, because I've seen so many people that have only risen to the level of those people that are around them. And we say, you know, the saying, you're only as strong as the weakest link. And again, if you continue to surround yourself with negative friends, my guess is they will keep you from the potential that God has for your life. And I look back over my life, and I can say a lot of the good things that I walk in today are things that I won when I was a 15, 16, 17-year-old young man, and they're things that my friends helped shape, help call out of me, help disciple me as a 17-year-old, and I'm walking in that same fruit today. I also can look back at maybe some of the areas that I didn't reach my full potential, and I didn't have in those aspects and seasons of my life those friends that were, you know, pushing me on and prodding me on and saying, you're better than this, but they allowed me to settle. And so again, it could be either be a good thing or a bad thing. Have you heard the saying, it's all who you know? Has anyone heard that saying? And there is benefits to having friends, right? And you all have that friend that you really like to have, you know, the friend that has all the equipment, all the hunting equipment, or the access to the hunting land, or all the tools that you don't have that you want to borrow, right? We all have that friend, or the friend that has the cabin that you can stay at, or maybe it's your in-laws' house that you can stay at, that kind of thing, right? It's all who you know. And I think the Bible says a lot about this. A lot of what we get and what we gain in our life is a reflection of those who we are in relationship with. And the Bible speaks to this because I believe that our relationship that we have with Christ should be something that influences others to deepen their relationship with Christ. I believe that with every fiber of my being, that people around me should be closer to Christ than if they weren't around me. And I try to teach that to my kids. I say, will people be a better person because they were with you? And will they be closer to the Lord? And that will they be closer to their relationship with Christ? Or are you going to be a distraction? So in Acts 4:13, we see this, and it's after Jesus, you know, had rose from the grave. And it says this, you can turn in your Bibles, but it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that these men were unschooled, that they were ordinary men, and they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So these Pharisees, these scribes, they looked at the disciples and they could tell. There was a difference about these disciples. They could tell that they had been men who had been with Jesus. And I think Charles Spurgeon says it this way. He says, live in such a way that men will recognize that you have been with Jesus. And I think this is where Christianity gets real practical, because either they will recognize the Jesus inside of you, or they will recognize you as just no different than them. And that's where the rubber really meets the road. And that's where we really talk about the power of relationships. Will people recognize that I have been with Jesus? That I have been marked? That I have been changed? That I am somewhat different? Not just weird, but somewhat different because of the relationship that I have with my Father. Today, the title of my message is, who are you hanging with? Who are you hanging with? And again, we're talking about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to say this just as I begin, that the Holy Spirit did not come to overtake you in a mystical phenomenon or a mystical experience. There is a fascination, especially with the younger generation, for anything supernatural. That you look at the shows, you look at the comedy, you listen to what's going on, and everyone wants to touch something that is outside of this world, right? Think about it for a minute. There is a fascination with things of the supernatural. And unfortunately, a lot of times, it's with the negative aspect of the supernatural. And so when we come and we start talking about the Holy Spirit, our mind is conditioned to think, well, that is supernatural, and so that is mystical, that is weird, and that's just like a phenomenon that's going to happen. And I want to say it again, that the Holy Spirit did not come to just have a mystical encounter with you. He came to have a personal relationship with you. So it is not about this mystical encounter that you're like, well, that was really weird and kind of cool. No, you're called to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. You're called to walk with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe you're called, the role of the Holy Spirit is this. It's to get you to feel, to act, to think, and to be like God. The Holy Spirit's job is to get you to think like God would think. The Holy Spirit's job is to get you to see like God would see. The Holy Spirit's God is to get you to feel how God's heart would feel when he looks at humanity. Okay, the Holy Spirit wants to change you so that when God thinks the certain way about something, then you're thinking the same way. It's not about just an encounter. And he does this how? He does this by coming inside of you. He does this by speaking to you. He does this by developing a personal relationship with you. And each and every one of us are invited to walk in that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you look at some of Jesus' famous words about what matters most, and I think we've talked about this quite often in this church, and people who aren't Christians say, well, what? Just tell me what I need to do to be a Christian. You know, give me the Cliff Note version of what I need to do. And we would read maybe out of Mark 12, 38, or 28 through 31, when the Pharisees pretty much wanted to pin Jesus. They wanted to trick Jesus, say, Jesus, what really matters? And Jesus said this. He says, and one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, they asked him, which commandment is most important? I don't want the whole list, Jesus. Just hit me straight, Jesus. What is most important? And Jesus said this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. And we've heard that, and we say that, and we preach that. But we need to understand that the very essence, we say God is love, that means God is relational. Because God is love, we can make the correlation that he is therefore relational. And when we come to Christ, it does not involve just a mind-altering experience. It does not involve my relationship with Christ. It's not just about coming here for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. And no, I don't think we're going to go 2 hours. It does not just involve me doing my religious duty. My relationship with Christ requires that I submit my whole life to him. It requires that I think differently about life, that I think differently about sin, that I react differently when injustice happens, that emotionally, my emotions are ran through the filter of my relationship with Christ. Okay, my whole life is different. It requires strength, right? Love the Lord your God with your strength, your heart. How many of you know you can't just serve the Lord with your behavior? Well, I did this, I did that, I gave the tithe. No, it requires your heart. It requires your life. It requires that you are emotional because it's a relationship. Not over emotional, please. But it requires who you are submitting all of it to Christ. It's not about just a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or attending a small group. Serving the Lord requires your whole heart and your whole life. Okay, the Bible says that from a young age, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe this. I believe that it was his relationship, Jesus's relationship with the Holy Spirit, that allowed him to live the powerful life that he did. Listen, he was fully God, but he was fully human. And so he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was that relationship that caused him to do things that God has called us to do and us to walk in today. You know, like marriage, like a friendship, They take time. They take doing life together. They take walking together, right? It's not something that just can happen overnight. You know, even in marriage, you know, they say the goal of marriage is for intimacy. How many of you know that intimacy doesn't just happen? Intimacy happens because you work on being one in your marriage. You work on that relationship. You work on that friendship. You know, just like our role with the Holy Spirit, He wants to show us what grieves His heart because His heart gets grieved. He wants to show us what's important to His heart. And it's going to take time for us to learn the heart of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we live in the greatest, out of all the different times that the Lord could have put you on this earth, He chose to put you on this earth in 2018 for such a time as this. I believe out of all the times in history that I could have been alive, I am so grateful that I am alive today. Because there were times, if you look back over history, where God would speak to the whole nation through one person. Could you imagine if that person was wrong? Can you imagine if that person misrepresented the heart of God and they were the only one representing God's voice? Or how about the time in the Bible where for about 400 years where it said God went crickets? Some of you can't go 2 days or a year without hearing a word from God. Some of you, like, whenever we have a prophet come around, you're like, I gotta get a word. Well, we just had one like 2 weeks ago. Right? Can you imagine 400 years God being silent? Imagine how insecure I would feel. Oh, God, what you've left. But we live in a time where all of us are invited to hear the voice of God personally, where you have direct access to hear the very oracles of God, where you don't have to hear God's voice through a priest, through a pastor, through a medium. You have the opportunity to walk in your daily life with the creator of the universe. And you can hear God, hear from God for yourself. In Acts 2:17, it's a promise, and it says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everyone and cause your sons and your daughters to prophesy. And your young men will see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. We are living in that day today where you can dream the dreams of God and you can see the dreams of God come true in your life. I am so grateful to be alive in 2018. We have the opportunity to have a friend, the benefits of the Holy Spirit functioning in our life, and I'm so grateful. Another thing a friend does, a friend will sharpen. And the Holy Spirit is a friend that wants to sharpen your life, meaning you're going to mature in your relationship as you walk with the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a big difference this morning between sin and immaturity. Right, there's a huge difference between sin and immaturity. And I think it's important that we understand the difference this morning because sometimes we confuse them. And this morning, I want you to see the difference in your life between sin and immaturity. You know, maturity is really based on two things, age and life stage. Okay, that's what I can just say maturity is based around. It's based on your age and the stage of life that you're in. I've heard parents say this, my two-year-old is so mature. No, they don't say that. They say, my two-year-old is so mature for his age. My two-year-old is so gifted. No, your two-year-old is so gifted for his age. Okay, there's a difference between sin and maturity. Okay, so I'll just say this. If you have kids, if you are one who disciples spiritual children, if you are a disciple of people, I want to encourage you this morning to be able to tell the difference between immaturity and sin. Because I've seen a lot of damage done in the name of sin when it's an issue of immaturity. My wife, a few years ago, our son, I believe it was our son Daniel, so I was a young parent and didn't know what I was doing, still don't know if I know what I'm doing, but I remember my wife scolding me for scolding our son, for disciplining our son. Can you believe that? Can you believe that she did that? She was scolding me for disciplining our son. But I was disciplining our son because he did something that two-year-olds are supposed to do. I think he probably spilled his milk on accident, and I scolded him for it. And she said, we can't discipline over issues of immaturity because two-year-olds have to learn to not spill their milk. They have to learn to walk with their cereal and not tip their cereal. And I think the mistake that parents make, the mistake that I make, is we then will discipline issues that we think are sin when they're issues of immaturity. And all that needs to happen is they just need to walk in more maturity. It's not a hard issue, right? We can only expect our two-year-olds to be so mature. You know, I want to say this morning. There is a difference between spiritual maturity and physical maturity. To be physically mature, you just got to keep living, right? You just got to keep living, right? When you're two, well, you'll mature when you're four, right? Well, how does a boy turn to a man? Well, he goes through puberty, right? There's nothing he's got to do. There's nothing my sons have to do other than just keep going through that process to be physically mature. But how do you know spiritual maturity doesn't work that way? Because I've met people that have been Christians for 50 years and they are still immature like a brand new newborn Christian. Because you don't just grow spiritually just by doing nothing. Right? You grow spiritually by investing in your spiritual relationship. Listen, to grow physically, I don't have to necessarily invest in my physical relationship. Right? I don't have to work on getting old. I'm reminded of that daily, right? The only way for a Christian to become like Christ is by the power of the same Holy Spirit who empowered the life of Christ. Okay, the only way for you in your life and for me in my life to become like Christ is to be empowered by the same Holy Spirit that empowered Christ. The only way for you to grow spiritually is to invest in your life spiritually. The Bible says that Jesus grew in his wisdom and stature through his relationship with the Holy Spirit. When you learn to walk with the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to his voice, you will grow. You know, it gives me hope when I think about Jesus, because I believe this, that Jesus never sinned. Jesus was perfect. But it gives me hope to know even Jesus had to learn to walk. Think about it. Even Jesus had to learn to become a young man. Even Jesus had to learn to be a young adult. Even Jesus had to go through those normal life stages. Why? Because he was human. Right? So it gives me hope to know Jesus probably fell down learning to walk. Right? He went through those normal life stages, but it doesn't mean he didn't sin. But his relationship with the Holy Spirit caused him to be perfectly mature for the season of life he was in. He was a perfectly mature two-year-old. Hallelujah. Gerald Hawthorne, a college professor, said this: not only is Jesus their Savior, our Savior, because of who he was and because of his own complete obedience to the Father's will, but listen to this, he is the supreme example for us of what is possible in human life because of our total dependence on the Spirit of God. Yep. He was the example for us of what it meant to depend on the Spirit of God. So I want to encourage you in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. As you submit to him, you will grow. And some of the things that you did as a two-year-old baby Christian, you're not going to do as a 10-year-old Christian any longer, because you grow, because you mature. True friends, My last thing I want to talk about this morning, true friends tell you the truth. Even when it hurts. True friends tell you the truth, even when it hurts. I don't know what it is about me. I've got this anointing to get things stuck in my teeth. I don't know if I've got big teeth gaps or what. But man, my wife's like, you have stuff in your teeth all the time. I'm like, really, honey? And you know what I appreciate? When someone tells you. Right? I know it's a funny example, but I appreciate when someone tells you, hey, dude, you got some pepper in your tooth. Or how about when your friends say, hey, Justin, man, I love you, but you got to figure this area of your life out. Right? I know it's hard to say, but I want to speak the truth to you. I need truth spoken to my life. True friends tell you the truth. You know, the Bible says that one of the primary function of the Holy Spirit is to condition our heart to how we view sin. One of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to condition our heart in the areas of how we view sin in our life. And I believe this, that the Holy Spirit wants to condition a proper biblical view of sin in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to change your heart with how you view sin. Have you ever noticed in your relationship with Christ that maybe things that you were sensitive to 10 years ago, you're not sensitive to those things anymore? Anyone experience that as you walk with the Lord? Or maybe convictions that I held true into my heart for a season, they might not be convictions in my life anymore, right? Or maybe there were certain movies or certain things that I just couldn't watch because God was doing something in my life, and to do that, it would have caused him grief. Some of them I still carry, but some of them might have been seasonal things that God said, for that season, I don't want you to do this. Not because it's sin, because it's just not going to benefit you. Right? So as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we've got to continue to be sensitive in the area of sin, in the area of what grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Because I believe as we grow, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead wants to come alive inside of you. And that means that he wants to continue to condition your heart in the areas of being convicted of sin and not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. I want to say this morning, that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. Can I say that again? The Holy Spirit is the one that convicts us. It is the enemy, and it is man and flesh that brings condemnation. It is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings conviction. The enemy brings condemnation. And just a little, if you're new to the Lord, I'm so glad, and I love what God is doing in your hearts, but I want to speak to the mature ones for a minute. Okay, if you consider yourself a mature one, listen up. Here's what I know in my life, that I need to trust the Holy Spirit to do the work on people's hearts and not impose my own will, my own opinions, and my own desires upon them. But I need to trust that the same Holy Spirit that worked on me will be faithful to work on the babes of the Lord and grow them up into maturity. Because here's what I know. Many times when I want to control someone's relationship with the Holy Spirit, you know what it is? I do it in the name of good. A lot of times it's a lack of trust in the Holy Spirit in my own life. Do I really trust that the Holy Spirit can change someone's heart from ugly to beautiful, from immature to mature? Do I really trust that the Holy Spirit can do that? Or do I need to try to control how their walk with the Lord is? I get challenged by that because a lot of times I blame it on, well, they just need to know. No, I need to trust the Holy Spirit inside of them, because the same Holy Spirit that changed me can change a hard heart. And do you believe that the Lord can change their thought patterns, their habit patterns, their addictions, their struggles, their behavior, right? As you release them to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life, they will change. Ephesians 4 says this, verse 30 says this, do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Do not bring sorrow to God, his Holy Spirit, by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. This is the same verse that says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know that scripture? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I think we need to understand the difference between to grieve and grief. Okay, to grieve and grief. Grief is a noun. Person, place, thing, idea. Thank you. Person, place, thing, idea. It is a noun. Grief is a result of hardship or of suffering. Many of you, many of us have suffered times of grief in our life. Okay, where something happens and we are hit with something called grief. But to grieve is a verb, a action word. Okay, so your grieving is a result of your grief. Because something happened that caused sorrow, hardship, now you are going to grieve. You are going to be affected. You are going to do however you do your grieving process, and some of us do it in weird ways. Okay, but our grieving is a result of grief. Okay, and the Bible says that we can cause the Holy Spirit of God to grieve. And I want to say this, immaturity doesn't always cause the Holy Spirit to grieve. It can. Because I believe immaturity can lead to sin. But the Bible says that sin causes the Holy Spirit to grieve. And you think about that word, to grieve, to be sorrowful, to be sad, to be heartbroken, all these, you know, words that we can describe what grieving is. The Bible says that it's our sin that causes the Holy Spirit to be sad. You know, the Bible talks about how our sin separates us from God. And for us Christians, you know, I don't believe that we're not talking just eternal separation. When you come and you accept Jesus in your life, you are going to be saved and you are going to walk in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But how many know along the way I still sin? How many know along the way you still sin? And so when you fall short, when you don't honor God, it's not this like, you know, oh man, eternally. No. When you sin, it may not affect your eternal relationship, but it will affect the intimacy that you have with the Holy Spirit. So we're not talking just eternal separation right now. We're talking in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Sin will cause you to not walk close with the Holy Spirit. It separates. Right? When sin is done, when lines are crossed, right? Think about it when you sin against your spouse. Right? A line is crossed. Does your wife still love you? Hopefully, right? Please love me, honey. Right? Hopefully. But what has happened? When I sin against my wife, our intimacy, our oneness, I'm not talking in a weird way or in a sexual way, but when there is sin, our oneness is affected. Our trust is affected. Our relationship is affected. Yeah. Okay, that's how it is when we talk about sinning and grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It's your intimacy. Your oneness, your connection is affected because lines have been crossed. When we sin and when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit says, ah, darn it, or whatever he would say. Because he says, I want you to live a full life, and this sin keeps you from it. It keeps you from experiencing me in my fullness. What did I say? True friends tell you the truth. Right? Our friendship and our relationship with the Holy Spirit, he wants to change your heart in the area of how you view sin and what sins you're convicted on. And here's what I know. He so desires a relationship with each and every one of us. And he wants to speak to us. And it's like sometimes those sins can block, can cause us from not hearing his voice as clear as he wants to hear it. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Right? And I think we all have those sins in our life, right? We have the big sins that maybe we've dealt with. Then we have those other sins that maybe continue to trip you up, continue to cause you to just not walk in the fullness of what Christ has for you. Right? That's what we're talking about. Those things that keep you from your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Worship team, would you come if you're in here? I'm a little early. I think Steve might have walked out. This will be the last time he walks out. Right? There he is. Because I'm never early, Steve. But here's why I'm early this morning. And worship team, you guys can come, because I'm early because I want to do business with God this morning. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to have a personal relationship with us. And I think there's some of us in here that maybe, as I was talking, you maybe felt like conviction. You maybe felt like, man, there are areas in my life that I just need to get right with God. And I want to be sensitive to that this morning. But here's what I know, is that the Holy Spirit so desires to be one with you. Intimate relationship. Walk in the sin that easily entangles us, as the Bible says, can stop that. You know, I believe that there's other areas where God, he did it to me this week, where he says, you need to just grow up, dude. You're not two anymore. So would you allow me to grow you up and make you more mature? Because I want you to be more mature. I want you to be sharp. You know, some of you might not have a relationship with the Lord, and today is a great day for that, because there is a God that wants to have a personal relationship with you. And so maybe that's you today that wants to start a relationship with God. And so would everyone just stand up with me? And Steve, I'm just going to have you play. And would we just take a few minutes? I want to pray over us. But would you just close your eyes, right, and focus on the Lord? But some of you, I believe, are thinking of areas in your life that maybe where the Lord is saying you need to mature in this. And the Holy Spirit is saying, will you arise to the occasion? Will you stop spilling your milk like the two-year-old, or whatever the issue is? And then I believe the issue of sin this morning. It might not be the major sin. It might be the major sin, the thing that keeps you. But if we're going to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he wants to walk in intimacy, and sin separates. So let's close our eyes. And Father, all over this room, we look to you. Father, I thank you that you want to walk with us, that you want to commune with us, that you want to talk with us. Father, that your Holy Spirit, that you want to, in a good way, be involved in every aspect of our life, that you want to change how we think, You want to change how we feel about certain situations. Father, you want us to do life with your Holy Spirit. And Father, I'm so grateful that the condition that you found us in is not the condition that you want to leave us in. But Father, you want to grow us. You want to mature us. You want to sharpen us. Father, you don't want us to be doing the same things that we did when we were babes in the Lord. And Father, I'm so grateful that you are the ultimate cleaner, that you are the one that can cleanse us from our sin. Father, I thank you that you want to teach us to be sensitive to your Spirit. Father, and even today, that God, we just confess, Father, just different areas of our own life that we know are causing intimacy to be hindered. Father, we just confess those things today. And if you have things that the Lord is just bringing to your mind, just confess them right now. Because he wants intimacy. Come on, let's sing this together. Of your sin. He loves you even if it's ugly. And I know sin is ugly. Right? My sin is ugly and he still loves me. But he doesn't want that sin to distract from relationship any longer. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you anymore. or any less, because he can't, because he's God. So my prayer as we get out of here this week, today, and go out and have our week is that we would just continue to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to those areas. And it's a process, and it doesn't happen overnight. And maturing is a process. And you're thinking, yeah, it is. Yeah, I know. It is a process. And it doesn't happen overnight. But stay the course. And walking in intimacy with the Lord is a process. And you're going to fall and you're going to mess up. And his love is going to call you back. But he wants to change our hearts with how we view the sin in our life. Amen? Amen. This morning, if you want prayer, you can come up, and there's some of us that would love to pray for you. But let's go out of here walking in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I love you. God bless you. Have a great week.